and the good work that he did on the cross as he died for our sin. You know, the Bible says about Jesus that he is the creator designer. It says without him was not anything made that was made. It says about Jesus that in Hebrews, God commands the angels to worship Jesus. And yet in the Word of God, it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to any other god or anything like that. It's the second commandment. And yet God commands angels to bow down to Jesus, and Jesus is worshipped. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is God. There's a lot of false teachers in this world, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Islam, that reject the deity of Jesus Christ. They say that he's not God, and yet the Bible says about Jesus that he is God in flesh. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus became flesh to die on the cross for our sin. We needed a sacrifice in our place, a substitute that God would accept, and Jesus came to be that sacrifice for our sin. Friend, has there ever been a time that you looked at the cross and understood what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did as he died on the cross for you? Again, the Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, God loves you today. God loved you so much that he took his Son, Jesus. He put him on the cross of shame and of suffering and of iniquity there as he died at Calvary. God took our sin, put it upon his Son there on the cross. Jesus cried out those words. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We live in an ungodly world. You don't have to look very far today. Just look to the right here and look at the posters that are up. And you'd understand today that we live in a sexually perverse, immoral, ungodly day. And yet despite that, God is reaching out in love. God cares for us. God desires to give us his gift of everlasting life. Friend, God doesn't want you to die and to go to hell. God wants you to go to heaven. He's done everything he can to rescue you from that eternal place of torment. You might say to me today, Ben, what's the worst thing about hell? Well, I'll tell you this, it's not a fire, though it is. Hell is a fire, it's an eternal fire. And yet the worst thing about hell today is that God is not there. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Nobody gets a do-over. Nobody gets to come back and say, you know, right, I'd like to come back and think more about God, think more about Jesus Christ. Nobody gets to do that. The Bible says, again, it's appointed unto men once to die. And when our funeral day comes and our death day comes, just like our birthday, we have nothing to do with that day. It's the day that we're born, the day that we die. And that on that day, we're going to stand before God. The Bible says that every single person is going to stand before God and give an account to God. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. Friend, are you ready to give an account to God for your lying? Are you ready to give an account to God for your lust? Are you ready to give an account to God for your covetousness, or for taking God's name in vain, or blaspheming God, or living your life as if there is no God? It's a very fearful thing to stand before God in the nakedness of your sin and in the nakedness of your shame. And yet there's a God that loves you, that wants to clothe you with his Son, Jesus Christ, and the precious blood of the Son of God, and what he did as he died on Calvary for you. Friend, you ought to look at the cross and understand the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and understand that that Savior that died, he didn't just die for the sins of the world, he died for your sins. Put your name there, my friend, in that precious verse where it says, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, we could say today, for God so loved Ben, so God so loved Mary, so God so loved Elizabeth, that he took his Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, it wasn't just that God loved us, but God so loved us. A love that was sacrificial. A love that would have God take his most precious gift, his only begotten Son, and would raise his Son as a sinless sacrifice for us as sinners that would die on the cross for our sin. Oh, friend, do you know the love of God? Has there ever been a time in your life when you repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ? We live in a world that blasphemes God, mocks God, curses God. Friend, just look around at the fringe and the things that are going on and all the wickedness that is here, and it's immoral and it's ungodly, and yet instead of being ashamed of that, there's many people today that are ashamed of God. They're not ashamed of drinking. They're not ashamed of drugs. They're not ashamed of immorality or pornography or the wickedness that's in their life, the nakedness of their life, and yet they are ashamed of a God that loved them, that created them, that designed them, that sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. Friend, what kind of a world is this? A world that turns its back on God. A world that lives as if there is no God. A world that by their tongue, when they speak about God, the things that they say is just to take God's name in vain and to blaspheme God. And I'll tell this to any atheist. Why do you take God's name in vain? Because you're a sinner just like I am. And in our sin, we sin against God. And one of the laws of God is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Every time somebody says an idle word, the Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God and the books to be opened and God to take out every idle word that you've ever spoken and all the blasphemy against God and all the cursing and all the anger and all the bitterness and all the gossip and all the things that came out of your mouth that are against God? And that's just thinking about what we said. What about all the things that you thought that were against God and the ungodly thinking of our heart and our mind that is set against God? What about the acts that men do that are against God? Men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says, because their deeds are evil. Why do we stand in a generation that is scared to go to church, scared to pick up a Bible, scared to understand what it really says about marriage and about life and about sexuality and about truth? Why are they so scared of this precious book? Because this book stands in condemnation against man's sin. Now, is that a bad thing? No, that's a good thing. It's a good thing when God looks at us and says, friend, you've got the cancer of sin in your life, but there's a cure. It's not unloving for a doctor to say to you, look, you've got cancer. And it's not unloving for God to say to you, look, you've got sin in your life, worse than cancer that can cause physical death. The Bible says about our sin that it causes eternal death. It says, for the wages of sin is death. It says in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. Friend, at that day, God's going to look at some people. He's going to say, depart from me, accursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because the Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Friend, you need to act as if your house is on fire today and get in the Word of God and understand the love of God that took His Son, Jesus Christ, and put Him on the cross for you. You might say to me, Ben, where do I read about it? Well, pick up a Bible and begin reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about the Son of God and His mercy and His grace and His goodness, how He healed, how He cared, how He loved, how He provided. And then read about the hatred of the false prophets that hated Him. And I'll tell you this, the hatred against God today is found first and foremost in the hearts of those that are false teachers. Those that desire to monetize religion, those that desire to make profit off of religion, those that desire a strong following to follow after them, and in their religion, they hate God, they hate Jesus Christ, and just like those that crucified the Christ, and just like Cain slew his brother Abel, they have risen up against God. And they're doing everything in their power to destroy this book. Friend, don't pat them on the back when they come out and say sexual sin is okay. Understand this. Anybody that says that they believe God, obey God, and denies the basic truth of the Word of God is somebody that is a false prophet. You might say to me, Ben, well, I don't know that much about God. Well, just read the first five books about the Bible. The first five books of the Bible say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This book speaks about a God that created. It speaks about a God that designed. It speaks about a God that made everything. What do we have today? We have people saying explosions make things. Well, try that out in Iraq. Try that out in Afghanistan. See how that works in Gaza. It doesn't work, does it? Explosions destroy. They never design. They never make. And I would challenge you today, you're not going to put stock, your life savings, into the idea that an explosion can make a supercomputer or something like that, but you're basing your eternity on the false idea that there is no God. The Bible says again, in the beginning, God created. You might say to me, Ben, I believe evolution. Well, let me ask you a question this morning. Where does life begin? Where does it start? Life comes from life. That's science. Evolution has this idea that life came from nowhere. No, there's no mechanism to make life outside of life. It's only through reproduction that life continues. Life is a traceable thread that goes back, and they always bring forth after their kind. And friend, that's exactly what the Word of God says about God's creation, is that they brought forth after their kind. Dogs have puppies. Cats have kittens. You know, and it's just the way that it is. Cows have calves. We understand that. That is science. That's what the Word of God teaches. But in our schools, they are teaching our children that life begets a different kind of life. That's not science. That's a lie that's being taught to our children. Friend, we ought to look at that and say, well, that's not true. We can look around. We can see science, and life brings forth the same kind of life, and that is consistent with what the Word of God teaches. Friend, it also teaches that God is the lawgiver. He's the one that said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. He gave us the Ten Commandments because in our sin nature against God, we took the will that God gave us, we exercised it against God. Friend, in your life, you might look at your life and think, well, Ben, you know, my life's kind of messed up, and I'm kind of depressed and kind of discouraged and disheartened. I don't know which way to turn. I'm looking at philosophy. I'm looking at meditation. I'm looking at Buddhism. I'm looking at all sorts of things, trying to get that inner peace. Then where is it found? I'll just tell you, friend, it's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the creator designer. He is the one that made us. He is the one that made us and how our life works. Nobody would try to put together something from a shop that's in a flat pack and try to put it together without the instructions. Friend, it's a crazy thing that we're doing, trying to put our family together, trying to put our life together without the manual. God gave us a book about it. Also in that book of Genesis, it speaks about worship. It speaks about the blood sacrifice. When man sinned, they recognized that they were naked, and it's a picture of the shame that we have in our hearts when we recognize the sin that is in our life. Friend, you ought to recognize that sin that's there. You might say to me, well, Ben, I'm a good person. Well, listen, if the law were to examine you as a good person, what would it find? Well, here, it would just say this about you as it would say about me. Liar, blasphemer, covetous, materialistic. You know, so many people today are living as if there is no God. You know, just think about that. The Bible says in the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. People today live as if there is no God. In fact, the God that they're worshiping is the God of sport. They're worshiping the God of materialism. They're worshiping the God of music. They're worshiping the God of addiction and drugs and drink and gambling. And they're bowing down to it. Friends, you can tell what you worship by what you spend your money on, what you spend your time on, what thrills you, what disappoints you, whatever that is in your life. I'll tell you, it's a God, and if it's not the God of the Bible, you've got a false God that you're worshiping. It's not going to satisfy. Ask the person that's buying all those lottery tickets, does that satisfy? Ask the person that's doing all the drinking, all the drugs, does that satisfy? Ask the person that's in an immoral lifestyle, does that satisfy? And the truth is, no. That's why they're seeking bigger and better and bigger and better. And it's an empty chase of the devil's temptation into a life that is destroyed because of sin. Friend, the only thing you get from drugs, drink, alcohol, immorality, gambling, and all those things is that it's becoming broke in your bank account, it breaking your relationship, it breaking your health. Friend, it's not worth it. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin, so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could have God's gift of everlasting life, so that we could be born again and have a home in heaven. The last thing that God desires to do today is to cast you into hell. God desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. God desires to rescue you from your sin. But I'll tell you this, my friend, nobody can come to God in faith without recognizing what their sin is in the sight of a holy God. We live in a generation that desires to justify themselves. And so they get social media to justify them. They get politicians to justify them. They get educators to justify them. But I'll tell you this, when you stand before God, the SNP or the Conservative Party or the Lib Dems or Labor, none of those parties are going to be there to defend you before the judgment seat as you stand before God. The only person that can defend you is Jesus Christ, and the only thing that can defend you about Christ is the blood that he shed that has been applied to your heart and applied to your life. Friend, if you don't have that when you die, there's one place that the Bible says that you go, and you go there for all eternity, and it's the last place that God desires to send you, because the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ, when he came, understand this, he was God in the flesh, yet he was rejected, he was despised. Why? Because he didn't love, because he didn't care. No, because men wanted their sin rather than Jesus. Friend, that's probably you today. If you're without God, it's not because you grew up out of church, it's not because you haven't had the chance that you need in life, it's because you've got a heart that is against God. And God's reaching out in love, and God is reaching out and trying to confront you in that. And I would say this, you know, the last thing that you ought to desire God to do is put you on your back in the hospital to get you to think about him, or break up a relationship that's ungodly to get you to think about him, or these other things that are maybe things in your life that you feel that's a big trial or that's a deep heartache. But I'll tell you this, in God's love and God's mercy, sometimes God allows you to go through a trial because he's trying to knock on your heart's door to get you to think about him. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. God desires to establish a relationship with you, but he cannot do that so long as you harbor sin in your heart and harbor sin in your life. That's why when we teach our young people that killing a baby in the womb is okay, we have given a lie to that person that's going to hurt them. When we tell them that sexual sin is okay and justified that in our society, we are hurting them. Why? Because we're hurting their ability to get to God. Because the way someone gets to God is by being honest about their sin, getting the mercy of God, getting the forgiveness of God, getting the cleansing of God, and the grace of God of restoring that relationship through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, you might say, well, Ben, I'm not a person like that. I'm not into sexual sin and the gross ungodliness that our world is promoting and waving the flag about. But I'll tell you this, no matter who you are, you have sin that is in your life. And there are people today that think, right, if there is a God, God's going to accept me because I'm a good person. Well, I just say this, by that you mean you're friendly, you're kind, you do nice things to other people. But I'll ask you this, does that take away your sin? And the fact is, it doesn't. The Bible says that thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. God can't see the goodness because all God can see is the ungodliness. That's why the Word of God says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And if you think today that you can stand before God and say, God, look at all this good stuff, you ought to let me into heaven, understand this. God can't see the good stuff because of the sin that is in your heart and the sin that is in your life. And so what did he do? He took his son, Jesus Christ. He took him, he put him on that cross, and he crucified him. And there on that cross, and just remember that story with me about Jesus and how they gave him a mock trial, and they accused him, and they put that blindfold upon the Lord, and they buffeted him, and they spat upon him and said, who smote thee, and who spat upon thee? And they took his back, and they whipped the flesh off his back with a cat of nine tails. Then they took the Lord, and they took him to Calvary, and they nailed his hands into that cross, and they put that cross into the ground, and all the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were pulled out of joint. Why? Because Jesus Christ on that cross was dying for you. Yet he stayed there in love. He could have destroyed the people that were killing him, and yet in love, he said this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friend, I understand today you're sincere. I understand today you might be ignorant of what this book says, and that's why, as a preacher, I do my best to get the gospel out, to get the truth out. But the truth is this, our sin is going to be judged by God with an eternity in hell. Friend, if you don't take care of it, if you do nothing about it, you're not ready to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. When you die, you'll stand before God, the God that you don't believe in, the God that you don't think exists, the God that you reject and you turn your back on. But I'll tell you this, you'll stand before that God. You're going to get an account of your life. You're not going to be able to look at the Son of God in his face, because it's going to be Jesus Christ upon that great white throne that is judging you for your sin. And very sadly, whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. Friend, if there's never been a time in your life where you humbled your heart and you confessed your sin to God, repented of your sin and put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you're not ready to die. And yet God desires to help you to get ready for that day. And better than that, I'll tell you this, it's not just about hell insurance that somebody should get saved. It's a wonderful thing to have peace in your heart. It's a wonderful thing to lay your head on your pillow at night and to know that your sins are forgiven, that you're in a right relationship with God. Then you can begin to work on other relationships. You might be living with somebody in fornication. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You might say, well, I really care for that person, but I'll tell you this. If you really cared for that person, you would say those words, I do, and get a marriage that is right in the sight of God. If you really loved your children, you would marry that person rather than just shacking up with them, rather than just sharing a bed with them, rather than not entering into a covenant relationship with them. Why am I saying that? Because when you obey God's word, all of a sudden things get better, they don't get worse. All of a sudden you have a relationship that works. You have a spouse that's in a covenant relationship with you. You can begin to form the family unit as God intends, one man and one woman in a covenant relationship for life. Friend, divorce isn't God's plan. There's a lot of young people today that are bitter. They're bitter because their mom and dad broke up, and maybe it was adultery, maybe it was fornication or something that came into that relationship. Maybe it was gambling, maybe it was drunkenness or drugs, and their family broke apart, and it hurt the heart of those kids. Friends, what's the best thing that we could give to our children? Give them a strong marriage. Give them a strong family. How do we do that? We get in the Bible. Begin to look at the Word of God. Begin to say, what does the Word of God say about my life? And be honest about it. Friend, I pray, praise God, that this Bible is a mirror. It reflects the truth about our heart. The Bible says about the Word of God, it is quick, it is powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't read this book without conviction. You can't read this book without it speaking to you. And you got to make a decision. When it exposes sin that's there in your heart, you can do one of two things. You can pull back, stop reading the Bible, cover your sin, and go on and act like everything's okay. Or you can let the Bible expose your sin, show you what it is, show you how to get rid of it, show you how to get victory over it, and begin to have a life that is honorable, have a life that is respectable, have a life that obeys God. Friend, it's a great thing to know God. It's a great thing as a dad, as a father, as a husband, to have that righteousness that's in our heart, not because of our goodness, not because of something that we've earned from God, but because God has cleansed us from the inside out. You might say to me, Ben, I could never reform like that. I'm not talking about reformation this morning. I am speaking about transformation that God desires to give. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. The old all things are become new. God doesn't just change the outside. God changes us from the inside out. Only God has the ability to take away the guilt. Only God has the ability to cleanse us. And he can do it powerfully. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. A priest can't do that. A religion can't do that. But the Son of God can do that through the power of his blood. Friend, that's why he shed his blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. It's only what Jesus Christ did. Any religion that rejects the work of the cross and the atonement is a false religion. Any religion that teaches there's another way other than Jesus Christ, again, is a false religion. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is not a way, he is the way. He is the only way for men to be saved. I praise God today for his power to forgive us of our sin and to take away the guilt of that, to cleanse us by his precious blood. Friend, do you know that in your heart today? Have you ever had the blood applied to your account? Has God ever wiped the slate clean for you? You know, I praise God today that he's merciful. God is a gracious God. He's a good God. He stands willing to give us incredible gifts today. You might say to me, Ben, what's it all about? What's salvation all about? Well, salvation, first of all, saves you from hell. It takes away the guilt of your sin. It takes away that punishment that's eternal so that you don't have to go to hell and pay for your sin because your sin was paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary. But also, when somebody gets saved, they become a child of God. God adopts us into his family. God gives us a relationship that we don't have. You cannot say today that I'm a child of God and be living like your father the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees that were religious leaders, he said, you have your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. Friend, our lives are characterized by lies, and yet people say this, oh, it's just a white lie, it's just a little lie. They defend their lies, but the Bible says in the book of Revelation, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so God wants to take that away. God wants to forgive you of your sin. God wants to adopt you into his family. God wants to lay a treasure for you in heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Friend, if you said to me today, Ben, I don't want this life for eternity, I would tell you today, friend, this life is not the life that's eternal. This life is temporal. This life doesn't last. This world is going to be burned up. You know, we got people today, they're all big on their religion of, you know, fighting against global warming and fighting against, you know, the things that supposedly are destroying the planet and things like that, because they want to preserve this forever. Listen, it's temporal. We got to be good stewards of it. We got to take care of it. But this is not going to last. The Bible says that God's judgment's coming. When God's judgment comes, the Bible says it's not going to be a flood, because God has promised never to flood this earth again as he did back in that day. But friend, if you want proof of the flood, just look at the fossils on Mount Everest. Look at the truth of the fossil record. You can see it. It's there. And there is proof of what God's judgment has done before. But friend, you might say to me, well, Ben, When is God going to judge this earth? Isn't this a wicked place? And if it's so wicked and God just kind of lets it go on, how could it be that he's going to judge it? Friend, I'll tell you this. The Bible says that when God's judgment comes, Israel's going to be back in the land. Israel has been back in the land since 1947. And they're there today, despite the great push against them and people trying to destroy them, trying to get them out of there. I just tell you, read the Bible, see what the Word of God says about that. Now Israel has rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They have not yet turned back to Jesus, but that nation stands there as the only nation that's been displaced and dispersed, that has kept their national identity and has come back into their land. And that's what the Word of God said. It says in the book of Revelation that in the last days there's going to be one world economy, one world religion. Well, what do we see taking place in our day? We see fast approaching one world economy, one world religion. Friend, all those things point to the fact that God's judgment is coming soon. Friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God and give an account of your life before a holy God? Not before your parents that might say your sin is okay. Not before educators that say your sin is okay. Not before social media that pat you on the back and say the louder you speak about your sin, the better on you. Friend, those aren't going to be the people that you stand before and give an account for your life. Every single one of us is going to stand before God, a holy God, that sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. You know about God, there's no sin in God. God is completely without sin. The Bible says about God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's not a little bit of darkness in God. God is completely holy. To come to God, we've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. To come to the light, we've got to let the Word of God search our heart and show us the sin and the untruth that is there in our life. And friend, the only way to get right with God is to say, God, you are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. It's not pride. Pride will get nobody to God. Isn't it interesting that the greatest movement against God, the greatest movement against this Bible, is a movement called pride? The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look is the first thing that God says. Satan fell from glory. He was an angel. If you didn't know this, Lucifer was an incredible angel designed by God, a musical angel. But Lucifer fell when he said, I will be like the Most High God. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will. God said, you won't, and God cast him out of glory. Friend, we live in a generation that is saying to God, God, I will, God, I will, God, I will. They've hardened their heart against God. I will use my body however I want. I will treat my body however I want. It is my body. I'll do with it as I see fit. We hear that mantra all the time in this world, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says about our body, what know you not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Friend, Christ purchased us at Calvary. Now, some people can reject that. Some people can deny that. Some people can despise that. But I'll tell you this, if you want your body, what your body is a body of sin that's going to be cast into hell for all eternity. Friend, we ought to look at that and say, why do I want my body? I'll take the body that God desires me to have, and that is a blood-bought body by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a body that is sanctified, that is made holy, that is cleansed from sin. Friend, your mates are not going to be there on that day. They're not going to be there to back you up and say, I got your back. You stand there and you just say to God, God, I am right and you are wrong. Friend, God is incredibly powerful. He made the sea and everything in it. He made the stars also, the Bible says. He made everything. We're just beginning to understand what's in the sea. We're just beginning to understand the incredible grandeur of the universe. But think about this, friend. You believe in evolution. Explain aesthetics. Why is it pretty? Why does it look good? Why does it taste good? Why does it work so well? Why are there symbiotic relationships, interdependence upon species? Why do we have oxygen from the trees? Why are we the perfect distance from the sun? Why are we the perfect distance from the moon? Why is there solar eclipses that are perfectly done at a perfect time? Everything about that shouts that there is a God. That's why the Word of God says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, we are blind today. We are blind to just put our head in the sand and plug our ears and plug our eyes and go, there is no God. Everything about this life testifies that there is a God.
everything about us. We just look in the mirror and we go, you know what? I'm not an animal. I'm a person. And God made me, the Bible says, in his image. I have a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. I have an eternal soul. Why? Because God breathed into us the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Why in your heart today is there a sense that you're going to live somewhere forever? The reality is that is because you have an eternal soul. Then you say to me, well, Ben, I don't really believe in that soul thing. I really think the body is all there is. Well, just think about this. Get a heart transplant and say you get a pig heart. You're doing that these days. There's a man that has had the first transplant of a pig heart, but he didn't get off the table and say oink or do pig-like things. He was the same person when he woke up after that operation. Why is that? Because who we are is not our body. Who we are is our soul. You can get a prosthetic limb. You can be in a wheelchair. But listen, you're the same person. Why? Because you have a soul and it's eternal. You know what our young people need today? They don't need people telling them, be whatever you want. They need people telling them, be who God designed you to be. God made you male. God made you female. God put you here for a reason. God has a plan for your life. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. You don't have to continue in that sin that you say, well, that's just the way I am. No, you don't have to stay there. God can give you victory over that. God can set you free from that. God can forgive you. The Bible lists a bunch of lifestyle sins in the scriptures. Included in that is dressing up a man like a woman. Included in that is homosexuality. But it says this, but such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are cleansed. You know, God has the power today to set free from all sin. You know, you're not the worst person in the world because you're committing sexual sin that is gross and is flaunting it in the face of God. You're not the worst sinner that there is. You're a sinner just like me. You're a sinner just like everybody else. But the way to get victory over sin is not self-justification. It is not saying that my sin is okay, that my lifestyle is okay, that I can do what I want to do. The way to get victory is to look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and to recognize that when he died for you. He paid the price for that. Those that are in those parades, those that are waving those flags, those that are blaspheming God, mocking God, cursing God, and every self-righteous sinner that thinks, I'm a good person because I'm a religious person, but they've never had their sin dealt with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God. God has the power to save you. God has the power to cleanse you. Isaiah 53 speaks about he was wounded for our transgressions. You might say to me, friend, you might say, why do you believe the Bible? Because this book has prophecy in it. That text, Isaiah 53, 600 years before the cross, says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It says in Psalm 22, it says they pierced his hands and his feet. You might say, Ben, big deal, speaking about Jesus. Yes, it is. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came to this earth, 1,000 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible spoke about him. Friends, it's all over in the Word of God. The Bible prophesied the day that Jesus Christ would die. Jesus Christ died on Passover. Passover was a picture of Christ. Remember the story there in Egypt when God killed the firstborn in every household except for those that had the blood applied to the doorpost of a lamb that was slain, a lamb that was eaten. You might say, well, Ben, I don't get it. Well, the Bible says about Jesus, he's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. John the Baptist, the great preacher, looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Friend, Jesus Christ died on Passover. That date was a date that was recognized. The false leaders, they didn't want to take Jesus at that time, but it was God's ordained time. Study the Word of God, you'll find that the morning sacrifice, those sacrifices picture the death of Jesus Christ. The morning sacrifice was at 9 o'clock. The evening sacrifice was at 3 o'clock. Jesus Christ was crucified between 9 o'clock and his death ended at 3 o'clock. And I'm telling you, it was told in the Word of God thousands of years before it took place. Friend, things like that ought to make you step back, look, and listen. The Bible says in the book of Romans that a society that rejects God is a society that is characterized by the sin of homosexuality. The Bible said that in Romans. When was Romans written? It was written 2,000 years ago. It wasn't written today by somebody that looks around and goes, man, it's in the news all the time. It's there in front of us all the time. It's on our schools. They got the gay pride flag flying. It is the main news story. It is the main topic of our society. And what is our society? Our society is a society that has rejected God. Friend, all of that ought to make us as people step back, look and listen. You know, I praise God today that there are unbelievers, unchurched people that are looking around at the deep ungodliness that is happening, and they're saying to me, Ben, I don't get it. I don't understand. It is on our, in our schools, it is rabid. They're teaching sexual perversion to our little kids. They're perverting the hearts of our kids, and parents are beginning to get concerned about it. They're beginning to get burdened about it, and I praise God. I praise God. It's like the devil has gone too far in our society. He has pushed the envelope that far past that. I praise God. It's beginning to be in the hearts of rational people a recognition that there is deep ungodliness in our day. And I praise God for that. Because if we don't wake up to our sin, we won't wake up to the Savior. Until somebody understands that there's damnation, until they understand that there's judgment, until they understand that they're sinking, they won't reach out in love for the person that loves them, that has come to meet their need. Friend, that's Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one that did everything he could possibly do to save you from your sin. And friend, we're just like those that crucified him. We're just like those that turned our back on God and are living a life against God, living a life that blasphemes God and mocks God and curses God. And yet God in his mercy is reaching out. Oh friend, the Bible says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should have everlasting life. God does not want to cast you to hell. Again, another scripture about that, it says he's not willing that any should perish. But there's a difference between God's desire and what God will have to do if you stay in your sin with your heart against God. Friend, there's a God that loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. He paid the price for you.
Son. Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus got all the time to go. Thank you.
He's sharing some truth from the Bible, speaking about Jesus Christ, who he is, his love for us, what he did when he died on the cross for our sins. You know, the Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's amazing to think that God would love us so much that he took his son, his only son, Jesus, his first begotten, his only begotten son, and put him on the cross for our sins. Again, he did that because he loves us. God is not against us, God is for us, but God is against our sins. Because our sin is the thing that separates us from God. It's the one thing that is going to keep somebody out of heaven and send them to hell for all eternity. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. The Bible says about that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God made a way through Jesus that we could be forgiven, not by our goodness, not by something that we could do, because the Bible says, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It doesn't matter today if you do your best to keep the law. The truth is, you've already broken the law. The Bible says if you break the law, at one point you're guilty of all. Just like a chain. You break one link, the chain is broken. So it is with our lives. We have broken that chain again and again and again and again. And that means that we've got to pay for our sin, and that punishment is hell. God doesn't want us to go there. That's why he sent his son. For those that would repent of their sin, admit it, confess it, forsake it, God stands ready to forgive. God desires to give you his mercy. God desires to give you that which you need. He sent his son Jesus so that you could be forgiven. Friend, but you have to come to God on his terms. You can't come to God self-righteous. You can't come to God saying, well, God, I really think this is okay, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay.
You've got to come to God saying, God, you're right. Your word condemns this. It condemns this. It condemns this. It stands against that which is in my life. This thing is a transgression of the law. You might say to me, Ben, why did God, make the law? Is God against us or something like that? Well, I'll just challenge you, my friend. Tell me one sin that fits for you. One sin that helps you in your relationship. One sin that helps you in your life. Truth be told, sin is the very thing that's destroying your life. There are people today passing this point, and nobody else knows it, but they're in deep debt because of gambling. There are people today, their health is bad because of drugs or cigarettes or drink and a habit that is in their life. It's a sin habit, and it's destroying their life. They act as if they enjoy it. They say, well, you know, that's what my life's about. There are a lot of people today, they go to work, they work all week so that they can go to the pub on the weekends and waste their living. Friend, it's a very sad way to live. That wasn't set you free from that. That kind of life, it doesn't satisfy. Alcohol is a depressant. And by the way, you know, our world reacted about COVID, you know, we got to do all this and that and the other. What about alcohol? What if we treated alcohol the same way that we treat COVID and go, hey, let's give our NHS a break. Let's give them some help. Let's help our policemen out. Let's help our society not have the profanity and the ungodliness and the stupor and the stupidness of sin upon our streets. Let's get people to get victory over that sin, which is alcohol. We don't see it as a problem as we did COVID. We look at COVID, that's a big deal, but we could care less about that sin. Friend, we got a lot of people today that their mate pats them on the back if they drink, if they do drugs, if they're immoral. But if they pick up a Bible or they go to church, they begin to make fun of that person, give that person a hard time. Friend, what kind of friend is that? You want a friend that it rejoices when you're wasting your money on alcohol, wasting your money on drugs, wasting your livelihood on sexual immorality, wasting your relationship, breaking up your marriage with adultery or fornication or things like that? What kind of a friend is that? We gotta want people in our life that would look at us and say, hey, why don't you get with the good book, the Bible, the Word of God, that speaks about building a family that is a male and a female in a covenant relationship for life, having children that grow up understanding that mom and dad have a fear of God, therefore they're gonna desire to follow God and His Word, and that's gonna give great protection to them as children. Our children are unprotected in our day. They have devices that are ungodly. They are watching pornography. They're participating in immorality. They are deeply ungodly in their youth. And there's nobody to stand up and say, hey, guard your virginity. Guard your purity. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Friend, where's the generation that would parade that down the street? Would parade abstinence? Would parade virginity? Would parade holiness? And stand behind those that have been married for 50 years and say, truly, that is honorable. Listen, a society is just what it honors. In our day, our society is honoring deep ungodliness. They're parading God in the street. If somebody is deeply ungodly, they come out, they pat them on the back and say, hey, that's great. Where's the generation that would say, you know what, let's honor things that are truly honorable. Let's not have the Olympics blaspheming and mocking Christianity and say that's okay with their sexual immorality and the perversion and their deep ungodliness as if Jesus Christ supports that. Listen, Jesus Christ stands for marriage between one man and one woman in a covenant relationship for life. Jesus himself said, therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. God's desire is that men would wake up to what really makes life work. Friends, fornication does not. A lot of people today, they're living in the sexual sin of fornication. They're not married, they're sharing a bed, and they're deeply ungodly, and they're teaching their kids that ungodliness is okay. Friend, the majority of people in our society are not married. Rather than being embarrassed about that, as other generations were, it used to be embarrassing to speak about sin. It used to be deeply embarrassing to find out something come out of the closet of deep ungodliness in somebody's life. But in our society, in our day, instead of that, we bow down to that, we kick the feet of that, and we worship that, and we say, oh, that's so great that people are so wicked. And then we look at Christianity, and we look at God, and we despise Him, and we mock Him. Then what kind of a society is that? We ought to consider that today and say, you know, the best thing that Scotland could do is get back to the Bible. Get back to the Word of God and what Jesus says about marriage, what Jesus says about life. You know, the Bible says about life, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Friend, life does not begin at birth. Life begins at conception. Life is God's plan. The blueprints for our life are written. That's genetics. God gave those genetics. God gave that information into that life in the womb because God created that life. God designed that life. God made that life. Friend, the society that we're living in is a society that's having an identity crisis. They're looking around saying, who am I, what am I, where am I? And instead of people looking at that person and giving them some truth, we're feeding them lies. And the best thing, again, would be to get back to the Bible and say male and female created to them. God designed us, God gave us life. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We are not today the act of random chance. We are God's design, God's made, and we can be God blessed if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Oh, friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you began to pick up the Bible, begin to read about God, and understand the love of God? That the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came, that He died on the cross for your sin, that He paid the price so that you could be forgiven. Friend, God desires you to know that today. God does not want you to die and go to hell. God desires you to have His mercy, to have His love, have His forgiveness, but you can't come to God on your terms. Friend, if you think that you're walking with God and you're walking with sin, you're deceived. The Bible says about Jesus, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Jesus Christ is not leading somebody in fornication. If somebody's in fornication, they are not following God. If somebody's in homosexuality, they're not following God. If somebody's in transgenderism, they're not following God. If somebody's in lies and deceit and embezzlement and stealing and thievery and drunkenness and drugs and things like that, they're not following God. The Bible says again about Jesus, He leadeth them in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. One of the great things about being a child of God is to be somebody that has a testimony. Friend, any religion that teaches that somebody can be whatever they want as a sinful and ungodly and wicked person and that they're truly worshiping God is deceived. You don't get to come to God on your terms. You only can come to God on His terms. And the Bible says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Oh, God desires to give you mercy today. God desires to give you forgiveness, but that forgiveness is found through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in what He did as He died on the cross for us, that He paid the price for us, that He was born into this world so that He could live a sinless life and go to the cross as our sacrifice. Why is it that we need sacrifice today? Because we're sinners. The Bible says about us, there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Very sadly, today we're walking the path that is a path of destruction. Anybody that dies without Jesus Christ as their Savior has not life. The Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Oh, it says this as well, though. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. Friend, you have life today. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. The Bible says about Jesus, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is not a way. He is the only way. He's the way of mercy. He's the way of forgiveness. He's the way of grace. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. Very sadly today, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, friend, do you know the love of God today? Do you know the mercy of God? Do you know the grace of God? Has there ever been a time in your life where you repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus? Again, we can't come to God on our terms. We can't say to God today, God, you got to accept my immorality. You got to accept my fornication. You got to accept my lies. You got to accept my deceit. You got to accept my gossip. You got to accept my gambling. You got to accept my addictions. We don't come to God today on our terms. We come to God as a God of mercy. We ought to come on our face before God, bow before Him, saying, dear God, I'm a sinner. I've lived a life that is against you. Friend, the way to God is the way of mercy and forgiveness. It is us saying to God, God, you are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. It's us humbling our heart, recognizing that Jesus Christ, when He died, that He died for us. And He paid the price for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could receive God's gift of everlasting life. Oh, friend, it's an amazing thing to lay your head in the pillow at night and not think that you're going to heaven, not hope that you're going to heaven, but know that you're going to heaven because you've got God in your heart. Friend, there is two eternal places. There is heaven and there is hell. Jesus Christ came because He wants to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. You might enjoy some things about life and your good things about life. You might enjoy your family. You might enjoy your work. You might enjoy, you know, some of the experiences of life and some of the fun things of life. I'll tell you this. that doesn't begin to compare with the life of somebody that knows God as their Father. That when they have a heartache, they've got a burden in their life, they can go to God and say, God, I need your help with this. I need you to help me financially, help me relationally, help me with the sin that is in my life. Dear God, help me to get victory. Friend, it's a great thing to have God on your side. But if you're against God today, you can't be against God in your lifestyle. You can't be against God in your sin and be with God. Oh, the Bible says again in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's what God desires to do. But I'll tell you this today, he is not your shepherd if you're not walking in paths of righteousness. The Bible says about Jesus, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A lot of people today, they want to say, hey, God is for me. And if I say God is for my sin, God is for my sin, I'll tell you this, God is not going to be spoken for by somebody that is ungodly saying God is okay with sin. Listen, that sin that somebody's defending, that sin is the very sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. God is not going to look at that sin and say that sin is okay. All that God could do is say that sin is condemnable. That sin is damnable. That sin is going to take you to hell. You think you're okay with your pride. You think you're okay with the cockiness, that smirk that comes on your face when you think about God. And that smirk when you think about your sin and you hold on to that sin in the face of a holy God. Friend, I'll tell you someday, that smirk is not going to be on your face. If you are on your face before a holy God, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God and give an account of your life? The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, then after that, the judgment. Every single one of us is going to give an account of ourselves to a holy God, a God that has no sin. The Bible says about God, in him is no darkness at all. God is light. God is light. Friend, he is truth. He is holiness. He is perfect purity. And I'll tell you today, we are not. We are sinners in the sight of a holy God. We have transgressed God's law. And again, the Bible says, if I break the law in one point, I am guilty of all. We have violated God's law. We have lived a life that is against God. Yet God lovingly sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on our cross for our sin. Friend, Jesus Christ is God. You might say, then, how does the Bible say Jesus Christ is God? Jesus is creator. Without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the Bible says about Jesus, he forgave sin on this earth, that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. Jesus on earth was worship. You're not to bow down to worship anybody except for God. Friend, I'll just again say Jesus Christ is God. He received the glory of God on earth. He received the glory of God in heaven. He is exalted on high. Why? Because he's God. Friend, when people take God's name in vain, they don't say, oh, Muhammad. They don't say, oh, Hare Krishna. They don't say, oh, the Pope. But they do say, Jesus Christ and Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. And as God in the flesh, he came and he died. Why? So that we could be forgiven. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every single person today is just about their own thing. They're living a life that is against God. It's like what the Bible says when it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Friend, it doesn't matter if it's okay in your eyes. It doesn't matter if you say it's okay. You're not going to be the one that justifies yourself when you stand before God. And I'll tell you this today, my friend, it's not going to be the society that defends you, the social media that defends you, the politicians that defends you. There's only one person that can defend you at the judgment seat, and that's the judge himself. It is Jesus Christ that died for you. And friend, if you never repented of your sin and put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you're not ready to die. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not prepared. You're not ready. You don't have what you need when you enter eternity. But Jesus is there for you. Jesus Christ died for you. God is reaching out to you. You might say to me, Ben, I can never come to faith in God. I can never come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, can I encourage you today to just pick up a Bible and be honest with God and say, God, I don't even know if you exist, but I'm going to give you a chance And if you do exist, prove it to me in my heart and begin to read the Word of God. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so faith is possible. Salvation is by grace through faith. Faith is the key to open up the door to everything that you need from God. But I'll tell you this, faith comes from God's Word. If you care about that for your kids, you're going to begin to read the Bible with them. If you care about that for your family, you might begin to take your family to a church that stands with God in His Word about what it says about marriage, what it says about gender, what it says about creation. Any church that doesn't stand on those things doesn't stand with the Bible, and therefore they do not stand with God. But I'll tell you, you can find a good church today. There are good churches. There are churches that believe this book and stand with this book, that believe the Bible and what the Bible says about marriage, what the Bible says about life, that life begins in the womb, that life begins at conception, that that's a precious gift that is given by God, and that that unborn child deserves a voice, those that would defend them, for those that would advocate for the life of the child in the womb, those that would advocate for marriage as God says it is, not between men and men, not between women and women, not between things that are confusion, but things that make sense, that male and female reproduce, and male and female have the ability to bring forth life and raise offspring, and that God made us different. There are gender differences that God gave, wonderful differences that God gave. God gave a woman great compassion. God gave men leadership. And I'll tell you this, in our day, those things are being twisted by our society. Yet if we get back to the way that God ordained and that God made us, that's where strong families are. That's where a strong society is. That's where a strong relationship is with God. Oh, friend, today, the way to get back to God is to repent of our sin, to turn our back on our sin instead of our back on the Savior. So many people today have their back to God. So many people today despise God and curse God and live a life that is against God. And yet God is reaching out again in love and mercy to them, desiring to bring them to saving faith, desiring them to have what He intends them to have. Friend, it's only by faith in God that you can be saved. Truly today, your greatest need is not winning the lottery. It's not having more money. It's not having more things. The greatest need that is in your life is having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you die without Christ, it doesn't matter if you're Elon Musk or you're Donald Trump or you're some other rich person. The Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give and offer to God and say, God, I'm going to purchase my salvation? You can't do that. Money can't buy it. Good works can't buy it. Religion can't buy it. Salvation is only by grace through faith in the Son of God that died on the cross for your sin. Friend, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have what you need. Oh, there's a lot of people today trying to do their own thing in life, wanting to be original. But the only original thing in our life is that we're all the same and that we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, for the wages of sin is death. The punishment for our sin is eternity in a lake of fire away from God. And again, that's the worst thing about hell. It's not just that it's a fire. It's not just that it's eternal. It's that it's separation from God for all eternity. Oh, friend, God doesn't want you to go there. God has done everything He can to ransom you. He's done everything He can to rescue you. He sent His Son to die for you so that you could be forgiven. Won't you give God a chance? Won't you think of a Bible and begin to read it? And again, you might say to me, Ben, the Bible's a big book. I don't even know where to begin. I just encourage you, give God a little bit of time and pick it up and begin to read the book of John. The book of John in the Bible says that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. God desires to bring you to saving faith. Friend, God desires to give you that gift. It's not something we can earn. It's not something that by our goodness we can offer to God and say, God, you got to let me into heaven because I'm a good person. There's a lot of nice people. There's a lot of kind people in this world. But truth be told, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The problem is the punishment for our sin is hell. God is a just God as well as a holy God. God, sin cannot go into heaven. As a just God, He must we must pay for our sin. We pay for our sin by eternity in a lake of fire. But God sent his son Jesus to redeem us. He sent his son as our savior. He sent his son to pay the price for our sins so that judicially God can forgive us. Oh friend, that's the greatest need in the life today. Father, I pray for the grace of God to awaken the hearts of the people of Edinburgh, the people of Scotland. Oh God, in your mercy, I pray for a day of awakening, a day of revival. And I praise you, God, for your mercy. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.